Today we're doing Dav Yud Tes Amud Beis of Maseches Brachos. We are holding top line of the page, I think, already. Yud Tes Amud Beis, right? Take it from the top. Home the Meshura. The people were standing in the Shura. This is right after the funeral when the Avelim walked through the Shura. So the question is, do you say Kriyashma if you're Omid Meshura? Tan Rabban, we have a Brisa that starts out the same as the Mishnah, but then adds a little something extra, like Brises tend to do. Shura Haroa Pnima Ptura. Those who are in the Shura that see the inside of the Shura, that are on the inside where the Avelim are going to pass through, they are Pater from Kriya Shema. Vishenaru Pnima Chayeves. But if they're more on the outside, in the back rows, then they're going to be Chayev. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not what it depends on, whether Roa Pnima or not. Here's what it depends on. Habayim Machmas Ha'Avel Peturim. Those who are there for the sake of the Avel. Why are they at the funeral? Because they want to be Menachem the Avel. Those people are Patim. But Machmas Atman, those who go to funerals, why? Machmas Atman, for their own enjoyment. What better place there to be? What? Atzman, it says. So what does that mean? It says Rashi, Lo Machmas Kavuch, Lo Bo Lenachem Elo Liros Asamura. They want to see what's going on there. Everyone, you know, there are little yentas in every community, so they go to see what's going on. They need to know what the latest talk is, who died, who was seen at the funeral, who wasn't talking to. Chayavin, those people are chayav. They do not have any exemption. Main point number one. Tanakama holds those who are on the inside of the shura. Rabbi Yehuda says those who are there for the avel are pater from shema. Good. Now we begin the sugya of Kavod HaBrios, and that will take us the rest of the shir. The sugya of Kavod HaBrios. Sugya of Kavod HaBrios is human dignity. That we're going to discuss whether you're allowed to compromise halacha for the sake of human dignity. Can you violate averos for the sake of human dignity? What do you think? Gut reaction? Violate averos for the sake of human dignity? So the what? That what? So we're going to see that phrase, when taken out of context, is severely misunderstood. That typically speaking, Kavod HaBrios is not a good enough reason to violate averos, but we're going to see three critical exceptions to that rule when Kavod HaBrios, when human dignity, is a good enough reason to violate Yisurim in the Torah. So let's see. Amar Avidom Amar Rav. Hamotze Klein Bebigdo. If a person finds shatness on his garment, poshtan, remove the clothing, afilu b'shuk, even in public. You're walking in the street and you notice that your suit has shatness in it, remove the suit, even if you are in public. My taima, why? Ein chachma meitzuna meinetzel neged Hashem. There's no chachmas against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem says you're not allowed to wear shatness. You don't start thinking, beneath my dignity, this, that. Forget dignity. You serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol makom sheish chil Hashem, in cholkin kavod l'rav. Whenever it's chil Hashem, we don't give kavod to people. We're going to see an exception to this rule is shevi al taseh. That if the avera that you're violating is being violated passively, then you're allowed to violate an avera for the sake of human dignity. This is the major machlokas, Rush and Rambam. How do you define what's called shevi al taseh? Let's say I see you wearing shatness. So you're doing the avera b'kum v'aseh. If I don't tell you anything, you don't know that you're wearing shatness. I happen to know you're wearing shatness. If I don't tell you anything, I will be shevi al taseh. Can I allow your avera? If I do tell you something, you're going to have to take it off, right? So can I allow your avera to continue as long as I'm shevi al taseh? Or do I say no, because you're doing the avera b'kum v'aseh, so we can't allow it to continue? It all depends on one word over here. What does the Gemara say? Amotze klayim. What's the next word after amotze klayim was?
Bibigdo.
So that's a machlokas rishonim, whether that word exists or not. Is it when you find klayim in your own beget? Which would imply, but if it's in someone else's beget, you don't have to do anything about it, just sit still? Or is it amotze klayim, b'shuk? You find klayim, not just on your beget, and anyone's beget in the shuk, you got to take it off. And if you see it on, and the Sadr Rambam says, you see it on your Rebbe, you have to go in and pull the clothing off of him. Because he's not allowed to be wearing the shatness. This is the famous tshuva of the Nodav Yehuda. And this machlok is Rambam and Rosh. What?
How can you tell?
Well, I'll give you an example. There's a Rebbe in the Yeshiva told me his wife was in shul once on Simchas Torah, and the Rebbetzin of the shul came over to his wife and said, "That is a beautiful skirt that you're wearing. Did you buy it at Lord and Taylor, whatever store?" And she said, "Yeah, how do you know?" She said, "Because I bought the same skirt, and by the way, it had shotness." Okay, so she could tell. So now what? So first of all, the Rebbetzin may have made a mistake. It depends on your gear stuff. Motzei klayim bebigdo or motzei klayim beshuk, right? Is it only in your own bag or someone else's bag?
She pointed out, but she didn't necessarily pull it off.
No, so she, right. So why not is a good question. So maybe for a woman it's different, perhaps. But the famous Shaila the Nadav Yehuda was in Madur Kamor Chaim Sim Lamed Hey. The Nadav Yehuda was asked the. I'm sure many of you may have heard the Shaila before, of the guy who was a very serious yeshiva bacher, and he was learning for several years, but the yeshiva didn't have a dormitory, so he stayed in a local home. And as luck would have it, such a ben teira, he fell in love with the daughter, with the girl who lives in the house, the daughter of the family that he lived with, and they were going to get married, right? They were engaged to be married. There's one little problem. He's been having an affair with her mother for the last 3 years that he's been living in the house. Right? So that was the Shaila. What was the Shaila? Halach is, if an Eishes Ish is with another man, she becomes Asura Leboel, and also Asura Lebaal. She's not allowed to be with the guy that she was with, nor is she allowed to be with her husband. It's necessary for her to be with her husband ever again. So here's the future son-in-law saying, do I have to tell my father-in-law that he's not allowed to, you know, mazel tov, me and your daughter are getting married, and your wife are getting divorced, because you're not allowed to be together anymore. Does he have an obligation to tell his father-in-law that, because he's violating Mr. Daraisa every time he's with his wife? So what are the tzadim? So why not? Why wouldn't you have to tell? Kavra brios. It's going to be a terrible hit on the dignity of the family. Everyone's going to be talking about this. Is going to be, you know, those guys that hang out at funerals, you know, just to see what's going on, talk around. Those guys are going to have a great time. They're going to have a lot of business over here to talk about. So do you say, so what's the rule? For Shevi Altasa, we're going to see at the very end of today's year, for Shevi Altasa, Kavod HaBrios is going to win. Only if the Aveir is B'Shevi Altasa. Is this called Shevi Altasa? On the one hand, the guy doing the Aveira is actively doing the Aveira. It's Kumbaseh. But for the future son-in-law, to allow the Aveira to continue would be Shevi Al Tase. He's not saying anything. Do you call that Shevi Al Tase? Do you call that Kumbaseh? It all depends on whether you have the word Bibigdo in this line of Gemara or not. The debut that goes through a whole analysis of our Gemara. And it all depends on that word Bibigdo. Rambam Rush, depending on how you pass it in that machlokas, that's going to determine whether he has to tell the father-in-law or not. Then the second half of the tshuva, he has a whole, it's also a very famous part of the tshuva, because the fellow also asked, and by the way, please tell me how to do tshuva for this. And please, when you tell me how to do tshuva for this, keep in mind that I am of very weak constitution, because I learn a lot of Torah, bahasmada, yomam v'layla, so I don't really have much kochos, so don't give me too many fasts, because I don't think I can handle it. So Nadav Yehuda said, don't worry about the fasting, because if I were to try to give you a Tshuvas HaMishkal, the proper amounts of fasts and sigufim and suffering that you would have to put yourself through in order to properly be Mechaper, afilu yichya kishnos misushalach, if you lived as long as misushalach, you wouldn't live long enough to be able to do all the things that you need to do in order to have a proper Tshuvas HaMishkal. So we're going to go in a different direction. We're just going to say charata, alavar, kabbalah alasid, be serious about your learning, you know, aziva sachet, you know, all the basic elements of tshuva. So anyways, that's the famous Nadav Yehuda, but it's all in this Gemara. It's all based on that one word, bibigdo. So it says in Gemara, meisvei. So is this really true, that we ignore human dignity if for the sake of a mitzvah and avera? We cannot violate any avera for the sake of human dignity. We can have many, many riyas against it. And what's ultimately going to emerge is that there are three exceptions to that rule, that we ignore human dignity. Meisvei, right? Number one. Kavros meisvei chazru. They bury the dead, they're going back. Lufnei beis drachim. And there are two paths in front of them. Achas tahora, the achas tmeya. One path is tahor, the other path is tamei. Ba b'tahora, if the avil is going in the tahor path, ba inimo b'tahora, then everyone else should accompany him, even kohanim, in the tahor path. Ba b'tmeya, if the avil chooses to go on the tamei path, We want to give the Avel the proper respect, so we escort him in the Tamei path, even Kohanim, who normally are not allowed to become Tamei, but they're allowed to escort him in the Tamei path. Mishum Kvodo, for his honor. But I thought we just said that I don't care about people's honor, you have to worry about God's honor. So you're not allowed to violate any Avera for the sake of the honor of a human being. Answers the Gemara, Tirgumar Rabbi Abba, Bebes HaPrasta Rabbanan. We're not talking about an area that was Tamei Midaraisa. We're talking about a path that we call a Beis HaPras, which is only Tamei Midrabanan. What is a Beis HaPras? Two definitions in Shas for Beis HaPras. A field that had a grave in it, and now, what happened? One of two things. Either Shenevan Bakever, or Shenechrash Bakever. Nevan Bakever means there was a grave, we just don't know where it is. Remember that guy that died last week and we just buried him in our backyard? Where was it? Was it on that side of the yard? That side of the yard? I don't know. The whole yard is Tamei Midrabanan.
So technically, the entire world, because it's Suffolk Tamei
Midrabanan. No, it's a specific area. It's
because of the potential that there could have been a Mace Mitzvah buried here.
So it's only on a specific area when you know that there was a Mace in this area. You know for sure there was a Mace in this area. You just can't locate it right now. And the other definition is Sada Shenechrash Bakever. Sada Shenechrash Bakever is you buried someone in a shallow grave and then you plowed through the whole field. So there are bone fragments all over the field. So in a certain area around where the guy was buried, you have to be concerned that maybe you're touching bone fragments as you walk through the field and you're becoming Tamei.
If you do know where the body is buried, is the entire field still Tamei?
No, only just the place where the body is. Yeah. So says Gemara. So that whole field is called the Beis HaPras. It's Tamei Midrabanan. Tam Rav Dumar Shmuel Minafei Echad the Beis HaPras Vaholech. If you want to walk through a Beis HaPras, you can blow away the top surface layer of dirt and see if there are any bones there. If there aren't, keep on walking. So you're able to assess it on your own. Vam Rav Dumar Ashi Mishmei the Rav Beis HaPras Shenidash Tahar. A Beis HaPras that's already been properly trampled on is completely tahar. So that's the end of Raya number one. We thought we were going to prove that that you can ignore a halacha for the sake of kavod habrios from the fact that they ignore the halacha of tuma for the sake of the kavod of the avel. So he said, no, that was halacha midrabanan. But we already have an exception now. What's the exception to the rule of kavod habrios being insignificant in the face of an isser? If the isser is only drabanan. When the isser is only drabanan, kavod habrios is a more important factor than the isser midrabanan. Tashma, another raya. Dam Rabbaz Rav Tzadik, Medalgin Ayinu al Gabe Aron Shal Mesim, Likros Malchei Yisrael. We used to skip over the coffins of the dead in order to go greet Malchei Yisrael. Typically speaking, if you're jumping over a coffin, what is happening to you? You're becoming Tamei. You say, yeah, we used to do it all the time. Why? In order to greet Malchei Yisrael. V'lo Likros Malchei Yisrael B'vadam, not only to greet Jewish kings, Ela Afilu Likros Malchei Akum, even to greet non-Jewish kings. She'im Yizkeh, because if one day we will merit, Yavchin bin Malchei Yisrael l'Malchei Akum. We will one day be able to distinguish between Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Akum and see the great honor that's going to be afforded to the Malchei Beis David. So it's worth it. It's always worth it to go see a king. So, but even at the expense of becoming Tamei, so what are you turning back to?
Tesam
and Beis. Good. Why? What happened to Tesam and Beis? Nothing bad is going to happen to him all day. I did not remember this. I remember that we saw it early in the Masechta. I didn't remember where. Rabbi Wolf was overhearing me saying the shir, and he screamed out, "Tesson Bays." So if you're so mechul l'tefila, then nothing bad will happen to you all day. So the guy said, "Oh yeah, well I was so mechul l'tefila, something bad happened to me. Really? What bad happened to you? Well, I had to go to the king and I had to pay a tax. It's worth all the money. Whatever you had to pay, it's worth going to see a king, because one day you're going to be able to be mavchin between the Malchim Asolam and the Malchim Yisrael." So bottom line is, the Argumar is asking, though, Amai, why are you allowed to jump over graves, over coffins, to go greet a king? I don't care how much kavod you have to give this human king. You're not allowed to violate Averos. Answers Gemara, Kitarava, we're assuming like Rava. Dam Rava Dvar Torah Ohel Kol Sheish B'Chol Tafa Chotzis B'Vnei Tumah. The Din Midaraisa is if you create an Ohel over a dead body, the Ohel stops the Tumah. Anywhere in that Ohel is Tameh, but anywhere above that Ohel is Tameh.
So technically,
And what makes an Ohel? One Tefach of airspace. When Sagim V'Shein Bo Chalal Tefach, if it doesn't have a Tefach of airspace, let's say you just put a sheet over a dead body. So there's no Tefach of airspace, Eino Chotzis B'Fnei HaTumah. So the Tumah goes right through the sheet and will hit anything that goes over that body. Virov aronos, most coffins, yeshben chalal tefach, have airspace of a tefach between the body and the top of the coffin. Unless, you know, most, but unless the mace is a very large mace, or the coffin is a very low coffin, most coffins will leave airspace of a tefach, which would mean that on a d'oraisa level, if you put your hand over the coffin, you put your body over the coffin, you jump over the coffin, what happens on a d'oraisa level? Nothing. Why nothing? It stops the tumah. So v'gazrel sheyesh ben mishum shein ben. It's a gzeira midrabanan that jumping over coffins will make you tameh anyway, because some coffins don't have that full tefach of space. Umishum kavod melachim lo gazbu rabbanan. The rabbanan didn't make such a gezeira in the instance where you can give kavod to a king, where you have such a kavod abrios. Is this another exception? It's the same exception. That when it's talking about an isser drabbanan, kavod abrios beats out an isser drabbanan. Yeah.
It's specifying even more. It's not necessarily that it's a kavod abrios.
Specifically, kavod melachim over here, even a higher.
It's not necessarily that
a higher order kavod abrios. Okay. But let's see. We're not done yet. Tashma, gadol kavod abrios shedochel los seisha b'torah. Kavod abrios so great that it's even dochel los seisha b'torah. Taken out of context, or like the Gemara is doing, the Gemara says, "Wow! So you see, kavod abrios beats out all the yisurim in the Torah." Says Gemara, "Vamai, but why should that be the case? I thought that you got to serve God first and not worry about human dignity." And says Gemara, "Tirgum Rav Bar Shiva Kamed Rav Kana Belav De Lo Sasur." You know which Lo Sase in the Torah kavod abrios beats out? The Isra of Lo Sasur, which is the requirement to not veer from what the Rabbanan tell you. That's just another way of saying the Rabbanans. Yeah, that's what it means, Los Seisha B'Torah. Only one Los Seisha B'Torah, the Los Asei of Los Sasur. Achiku Alei, Lav Los Sasur D'Oraisa. They laughed at him. They said, "What are you talking about? The Los Sasur is the Din D'Oraisa. It says it in the Torah." Amravkana, Gav Rabba Amrilsa Lot Achiku Alei. A great man says something, don't laugh at him. Kalmili D'Rabbanan Asmachin Alav De Los Sasur. Every Din D'Rabbanan is somehow linked with the love of Los Sasur, meaning Los Sasur is the mechayev of all of the dinim drabanan, but it still just means dinim drabanan. So mishum kvodo sharu rabanan, for the sake of someone's kavod, the rabanan were mekel. So let's make main point number two: we ignore dinim drabanan for the sake of kavod abrios, but not dinim daraisa. And our examples included shatness and tumah. Next raya. The Torah tells us there's a mitzvah called Hashava Saveda, except the Torah says it in the strangest way. Instead of the Torah saying, there are two mitzvahs really. What are the mitzvahs of Hashava Saveda? You see an Aveda, right away, what happens? You have a mitzvah, an Isser, do not ignore it. And then, once you pick it up, you have a mitzvah to return it. But two mitzvahs. One is an Isser, do not ignore it. That's very strange, the way the Torah says, yes, do not ignore it. Let's assume you see a lost sheep. How would you phrase it? If you were telling someone, do not ignore the lost sheep, what would you say? When you see a sheep, do not ignore it. The Torah says, do not see a sheep and ignore it. So that's a little strange, no? If you were to stop the sentence, if you were to cut off, you walk in a little late, do not see a sheep and ignore it. So the Gemara makes this kind of drush every once in a while, where it moves the comma.
Do not see a sheep,
right? So the Gemara, where it can move the comma over and say, wait, maybe there's something. Maybe we can learn something from the fact that the lo is not right after, is not juxtaposed with visalamta. So Tashma says Gemara visalamta mehem, and you should ignore it, right? That's what the words literally mean. The context is do not see a sheep and visalamta mehem and ignore it. But we're dashing visalamta mehem. You should ignore it. Pam shata misalem mehem. Sometimes you're supposed to ignore it. Pam shenata misalem mehem. Sometimes you don't ignore the lost object. Haketzad, how do you know when to ignore it, when not to? So a few exceptions, a few places where you're allowed to ignore a lost object. For example, in Mayakoin v. Besakvaros. You're a Kohen, the lost object is in the cemetery. Do not go into the cemetery. You're allowed to ignore such an Aveda. Oh, Hayezakein Venilfi Kvodo. You are a very respected Talmud Chacham, you're a Rosh Yeshiva, and this object is beneath your dignity to be walking around with. It is a Barbie doll. So it is beneath your dignity to be walking around with Barbie's dream house, you know, to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, because you are a Chashva Rosh Yeshiva. So you do not have to do Hashavas Aveda. You may ignore that Aveda. Oh, Shaisa Malachta Maruba Mishal Chaveiro. Or your Malacha will be worth a lot more money than that Aveda. L'kach ne'emar v'salamta. For those three cases, you're allowed to ignore the Aveda. But we're going to focus on case number two. What was case number two? You're a chashva Rosh Yeshiva. Human dignity. It's beneath my dignity to do this mitzvah, God. God, how could you make me do this mitzvah? It's beneath my dignity. Wait, nothing's beneath your dignity. Didn't we say, v'amai, le'me ein chachma ein tvunei neitzel neged Hashem? There's no chachmas against a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have to serve Hashem. Says Gemara, Shaini Asim Dichsiv V'Salamta Mehem. No, over there it's different because the pasuk specifically says V'Salamta Mehem. So we know that there are exceptions. Says Gemara, okay, but then V'Ligmar Mina. Why don't we learn from there to everywhere else that you're allowed to violate mitzvos daraisa or yisurim daraisa for the sake of kavod abrios? Says Gemara, yisurim mimonu lo yalfina. You can't learn ritual law from monetary law. Hashavas Aveda is monetary law. And there is our second exception to the rule. What's our second exception? Kavod Abrios overpowers Dinim Daraisa if they are monetary law, if it's Dinim Amnis. So so far we have two exceptions. Kavod Abrios overpowers Dinim Rabbanon, and Kavod Abrios overpowers Dinim Daraisa when it's Mammon, apparently. Hashavas Aveda, because it's Mama. Tashma, says Gemara, let's bring another Raya, where we see that Kavod Abrios apparently wins. The Pasuk tells us that a Nazir is not allowed to become Tamei to Mason. And then the Pasuk says, and you know who's included in that? If his brother dies, or his sister, if his father dies, or his mother dies, or his brother dies, or his sister dies, Nazir, not allowed to become Tamei to any of them. So the Gemara darshins, why do you have to give me so many examples of dead people? Meaning that anyone dies, he's not allowed to become tamei to them. Why do you have to give so many examples? So we derive a different drasha from each example. We're only going to focus on one drasha that relates to us. Villa achosa, the pasuk says. The nazir is not allowed to become tamei even to his sister. Matam lomar, what's the pasuk teaching us? It's got nothing to teach us about nazir, because we already know nazir is not allowed to become tamei to anybody. It must be teaching us about some other halacha somewhere else. So what's it teaching us? A guy is on the way to go shecht his karm pesach to give his child the bris milah. Vishamash meis lo meis, and he hears that a relative of his died. Yachol yachzer v'yitame. I might think he should go back and make himself tame to the relative. Amrit lo yitame. That's why the pasuk says, no, don't make yourself tame. You got to shecht your karm pesach. Your chiv of karm pesach came first, and it's a chiv sheish makares. Don't become tame. Yachok shem she'eno metame lehem, kach eno metame lemeis mitzvah. So you might think, okay, if you don't even have to be metame to your sister, so if there's a meis mitzvah, what's a meis mitzvah?
Person who's dead and has no
one to bury in. So you might think you don't have to become tame to that person either. Tame lomar lachoso. Lachoso de'eno metame al metame lemeis mitzvah. Don't become tame to your sister, but do become tame to a meis mitzvah. Why? Because it's a major hit on human dignity to have a human being unburied. So it's a Kavod Abrios issue. So you have to be metame to the meis mitzvah. So you should miss out your Karban Pesach in order to be metame to the meis mitzvah. Amai, leme in chachma in tvunim eis l'neged Hashem. But I thought you're not supposed to, for Kavod Abrios, you don't miss out on mitzvos. You don't violate Averus, and you don't miss out on mitzvos. It says, Marno, shayni asim d'chsiv v'la'achoso. Over there it's different because the Pasuk specifically says v'la'achoso. So says Mar Veligmar Mina, so why can't we learn from there that Kavod Abrios beats out a lot of these surim? Says Mar, no, that's different. Shave v'al ta'aseh shayni. To not bring your korban pesach, to not give your child a mila, is shave v'al ta'aseh, is sitting passively. When does kavod abrios beat other isurim? When those isurim are violated passively, and that's our third exception. So what are our three exceptions to the rule that we ignore kavod abrios? We're more interested in serving Hashem than in serving human dignity. Three exceptions: isurim drabanan, mamanus, and shevi al tasa. Right? Whenever it's going to be passive. How you define shevi al tasa, we discussed before, is somewhat complicated. Is it the avera is being done in shevi al tasa, or that my failure to prevent the avera will be v'shevi al tasa? Okay, so that should be, I guess, your main point. What to just list off the three exceptions to, or at least the last two. The last main point already had the first exception. Okay, fantastic. Let's chazer.